Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Yud Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 21 lines from the top, roughly in the middle of the Omid. You might notice there's a diagram in the Gemara text itself, so under that diagram, the first complete line. Before we begin the Gemara, we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The Nosei is a topic and Mivneh is a structural note. Here we combine them into one note, and you'll notice a triangle is featured. So our Gemara will be dealing with a comment made in a Tanaic source, Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah. The word Psal means Tzach. We've seen this in the past, but if you're a first-time listener, don't be confused by the word Psal with another word, another meaning that might be have the same letters but totally unrelated. Psal means Tzach. And Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah, the source says, Shenidon Kesukkah, it's considered like a sukkah. Mahu, what is that? What do we mean by that? And the Gemara will have four deos on this topic, and they are featured in triangles. So as you scan down the page, you see Ula, Rabba and Rav Yosef, Rabba and Rav Chana, and Rav Oshaya. As we have throughout this Masichta since the beginning, we've been using the Book of Illustrations, the Pirush Chai, so we will continue to make references to those pictures, to those illustrations, and we will be starting with an illustration found on page 60, illustration 307. But before we get to the illustration, let's just start the text. After the slash mark in the middle, 21 lines from the top, Tono, Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah Nidoin Kesukkah. That's the Tanaic source. The Gemara asks, My Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah, what do you mean by that? In other words, the literal translation is Tzach that departs from the Sukkah. What does that mean? And bearing in mind that whatever explanation we give, the source also says it's considered like the sukkah. So it's not the sukkah, but it is the sukkah. What do we mean by that? So we look at illustration 307 on page 60 of the Pirush Chai. What you see there is a basic sukkah and a back side of the sukkah where the schach continues, and it appears in the illustration that there are three walls, and we now turn to the text. Omar Ula. Ula explains, what is Psal HaYotzim in a Sukkah? Konim HaYotzim L'Achorei Sukkah. It's a reference to reeds. Reeds are the schach, kosher schach, that extend beyond the back of the Sukkah. Now, it's true, we saw an illustration, but sometimes we're guilty of over-explaining. We have to leave room for the Gemara itself to develop the idea. So if you can put the illustration aside for the time being, just focusing on the translation of the Gemara, Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah, reeds that extend beyond the back of the Sukkah. The Gemara asks, V'ha bo'inon sholosh defanos. How can you say in the Tanaic source that it's Nidon Kesukkah when you require three walls for a Sukkah to be kosher? Where are your three walls? The Gemara says, B'di'ika. Well, there are three walls because the back side of the Sukkah, in fact, had the parallel walls also extending beyond the back wall of the Sukkah. V'ha bo'inon hechsher sukkah, but don't you require a minimum size? So unless it's bidiko, we've got that too. In other words, that area that you can see in illustration 307 measures a minimum of 7x7 tvachim. The Gemara asks, v'ha bo'inon silsim ruba mechamosa, but there's another requirement in order for it to be a kosher sukkah, and that is that silsa, the shade produced by the schach, must be meruba, greater than mechamosa, than the sunlight that is allowed in. The Gemara asks, Bidika, well, we've got that qualification as well. So what do we have? We've got three walls, 7x7 area, covered by a sufficient amount of schach, i.e. creating more shade than sun. Well, Ihochi Maila Memra, if that's the explanation of Psala Yitzim and Asuka in the source, then what do I need to be told this to begin with? It's obvious then that it's a kosher sukkah. The Gemara answers, there is a chiddush. There is something that I might have thought otherwise had I not been told. Mahu detema hoyo ulegavoy avidi ulebaroi lo avidi. Since this structure was made, all the walls that you see there were made for the gavoy, the inside, meaning the basic sukkah. It wasn't made for the purpose of this area to serve as a sukkah. Baroi means outside. It wasn't made for this outside area. Aim or low, I might have thought. It's not a kosher sukkah. Komash Malon, we are told that even though it wasn't made for the express purpose of serving as a sukkah, nevertheless, since it has all the qualifications of a sukkah, it is acceptable. Rabo v'Rav Yosef, Amri Travayu. Both, Travayu means both of them, Rabo and Rav Yosef. Illustration 308 will be what we are referring to shortly. They say, Hocha bekonim hayoytzim lefnin min asuka, umoshcha v'oz lechad doifin bahadayu. We're talking about konim again, konim are the reeds, the kosher schach. Hayoytzim lefnin asuka means extend in front of the sukkah. And umoshcha, there extends, Moshchavi also, there continues an extension of Chada Doifen, one wall, Bahadayu, together with the reeds. And that's clearly illustrated in 308 at the bottom of page 60. You see how one wall is longer than its parallel wall. And this Schach also continues beyond the entrance of the Sukkah. So that the Schach continues extending parallel to the length of that extension wall. Mahu detema ha les ba hechsher sukkah. You might have thought that the area under the schach that extends beyond the entrance is not an area surrounded by three walls. It doesn't have hechsher sukkah in the sense that you don't have three walls at that point. Kamash Malon, the source tells us that since it originates from a kosher sukkah, it nevertheless is considered a kosher area. We continue. Third explanation. Rabo bar barchana omar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo nitzucha elo lesuka sheruba. Now, actually, before we continue with the text, why not look at 309? That's picture 309, illustration 309 is at the top of page 61. It's an aerial view. So let's make it clear that we're looking top down. We're looking down into a sukkah. What we see there is part of the schach, the majority of the schach, contains a sufficient amount to produce more shade than sun. Minority part of the sukkah doesn't have sufficient schach covering it. That is called chamsim ruva mitzilsa. More sun light is let in than shade that is produced. Now, the Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says this is referring, the source of Psal Yitzim Nasukah Nidon Kesukah is referring to a sukkah sheruba, the rove, the majority is tzilsa meruba mechamsa. The majority has more shade than sun. Umiuta, the minority of it, chamsa meruba mitzilsa. More sun, chamsa is the sun, meruba greater than the shade, the tzilsa. Mahu detema, without the source I would have thought, tifsal bahachpurta, that the minority section ruins. Komash Malon, we say otherwise, that that minority does not affect the kashrus, the acceptability of the sukkah. Umay Yotze, what does Yotze mean? In the original source, it's Psal HaYotze Min HaSukkah. You see, in this particular explanation, you don't see something leaving. In the first two illustrations, in 308 and 307, in 307 and 308, we saw the schach leaving the sukkah proper. Here, you don't see a physical departure. So what does yotze mean? The Gemara explains, yotze mehechshir sukkah, departs the qualifications of sukkah. So that even though it departs the qualifications of sukkah, in the sense that there is more sun than shade at that particular point, it nevertheless is the minority, and hence doesn't ruin the sukkah. Rabbi Shaya Omar, Rabbi Shaya, a fourth explanation, and we'll be referring to illustration 310. He says, this is necessary. This source teaches me, Lo Nitzrael L'Schach Posel, Pachos Mishloisha B'Sukkah Ketana. We're dealing with a minimum size sukkah, 7 by 7 tefachim, very small sukkah. Truth be told, as minimum size sukkah, so you need to have 7 by 7 tefachim of schach overhead too. What do we have on here? We've got a sukkah, minimum size, that has unkosher schach, however, for an area of less than 3 hand breadths, less than 3 tefachim. Uma yotzei. Again, the issue is, what does it mean, departs from? Yotzei mitoiras sukkah. The schach, posel, is departs from the halachic acceptance of a sukkah. Now, what's the chiddush? So the chiddush is that even though it leaves, you have this substance, this material that's not Torah sukkah on it, your sukkah is still kosher. Maskif lo Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya asks, lo yehe elo avir, let it be considered nothing other than an airspace. The avir pochos mishloshet tvochem besukkah ketana mi posil. And an airspace of less than 3 tefachim in a minimum size sukkah, does that ruin it? In other words, what's the chiddush of this source when we would know the information already from the rules of avir? Rashi says, second line from the bottom, lo yelo avir upshita dekosher, it's obvious that it's kosher, dafilu avir hachamur mimenu, even airspace, which is a more stringent problem than schach posel, eino posel b'shir zeh, less than 3 tefachim of airspace doesn't ruin. So if airspace, avir, which is a more stringent realm, but less than 3 tefachim doesn't ruin, so certainly posel schach, less than 3 tefachim, is not going to ruin. The Gemara continues. Omar le Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba answers, Ze mitstaref v'yeshenim tachtov. When you have schach posel, not only does it join up with the 4 plus tefachim that of schach kosher that you have, but you can even sleep underneath it. Ze, however, the avir of less than 3 tefachim, mitstaref, it joins up to the extent that the sukkah is not ruined, v'ein yeshenim tachta, but you are not allowed to sleep underneath it. So that when the source says that the psal yotzei min ha-sukkah nidon kesukkah, the nidon kesukkah is of significance here, that it is treated as a sukkah and you can sleep under it, as opposed to the case of avir pochos mishloisha, there it's not nidon kesukkah to the extent that you could actually sleep under it. The Gemara asks, Umi ikomidi, ditzdrufim itztarif, is there, can one imagine that there is a substance that joins up? In other words, we need to have 7 by 7 tefachim. So the schach posel does join to create our 7 by 7 tefachim. Hu atzmo eino kosher, but to cover your sukkah with that material entirely would not be acceptable. So you're dealing with an unkosher substance that helps in joining together to create a kosher sukkah. Can you have that? Amar Rabbi Yitzchok ben El Yoshev in. He says, yes, we continue at the top of Omid Beis. There is a precedent for this idea. The precedent does not come from the realm of sukkah. It comes from the realm of immersion in a mikveh. Tit hanoruk. This is tit. It's a reference to clay or mud. Noruk means it's very liquid. It can be poured. It's not just thick mud. It's mud that is sufficiently liquidy that you could pour from one vessel to another. So tit hanoruk yochiach. This will prove the point. Shemitzdarf l'arboim saw. If you have a mikveh and the total quantity of the mikveh is 40 saw. This is a measure. It's a measure, and that is the minimum size of a mikveh. But part of the contents of this mikveh is titanoruk. So, is it a kosher mikveh? Can one immerse in the water of such a mikveh? The answer is yes. It's mitzarif. However, vatovel bo, if one were to immerse himself in 40 saw of liquidy mud, loy also loy tvila, his tvila will not be effective. It won't count for him. It won't purify him. So here we have an example of a substance that in and of itself is not kosher, but when it's a minority amount, but helps to complete the minimum shiur, it's acceptable. We continue with the Mishnah, and on the side of this, we have on our margin, we have a topic heading. The Nosei reads, Sukkah Kamin Tzrif. A sukkah that appears as a tzrif. So without translating tzrif, tzrif often is translated as a hut, but that doesn't help us here because we have to describe a sukkah that doesn't have any element of flat roof to it. Now, we've discussed this as well earlier in the Masichta. On page 25 of the Pirush Chai, you'll notice illustration 118. So that's when we learned the sukkah there, we refer to it as a pup tent looking sukkah, but it's basically all schach. And in the parentheses we've added, dofno natui, the wall is tilted, ein lo gag shetuch, and has no flat roof to it. So our Mishnah says, ha'oisa sukkasa kimin srif oisa oi shesomcha l'koiso. That is illustrated 119. Illustration 119, a lean-to. You can see the branches are leaning on an upright wall, no flat roof. Can you dwell in it as a sukkah? Is it a kosher sukkah? Rabbi Lezer posel? Rabbi Lezer says it's unkosher. Mipnei she'ein lo gag. It doesn't have any element of roof to it. Now Rashi says, "L'fishein lo gag she'eno nikur mahu gag u'malkos." It's not clear what is the top and what is the side. The oyel meshupo lav oyel hu. A slanting covering is not considered an oyel. Elo im kein yesh boy tefach zakuf kediktoni lebraisa. It's not considered an oyel unless there's some element of uprightness to it, upright, even if it's one hand breadth. We'll see this in the Gemara itself, a hand breadth of something vertical, and above the vertical element, you then have we'll call slanting roof, that would be acceptable. But this is as far as the Tana Rabbi Eliezer is concerned. However, continuing in the Mishnah, v'chachomim machshirim, the chachomim say there's no problem, it's kosher. The slanting the slanting roof situation, i.e. no distinguishing between wall and roof situation. Tana, we have a Tanaic source, and it also is illustrated by illustration 318, and this can be found on page 62 of the Pirush Chai. What you see there is very similar to 118 that you saw back on page 25. However, the bottom of this angular sukkah is raised off the ground one tefach. So, in your mind's eye, from the ground till the schach, there's a vertical rise of a tefach, and then the slanting starts. So the source says, Moide Rabbi Eliezer, who was stringent till now, will concede Shem Higbia Min Hakaka Tefach, if you raised it off the ground one tefach, or if you look at illustration 319, you see that there's a distancing of the top edge of the slanting poles are distanced one tefach from the vertical wall. Oshe fligo. Fligo means distanced. If you distance the top of the tzach min hakosel from the wall, tefach, by one handbreadth, shehi ksheira. That would be a kosher sukkah. My tamayu de rabbanon. What is the basis of the rabbanon who saw no problem in the original 118 and 119 diagrams? Answer: shipui oyolim to oyolim damu. The slant of an oyel, the slant of an enclosure, is considered as an enclosure. And when we say it is considered as an enclosure, what we mean to say, it's considered as if it has a roof as well, a distinguishable roof from the walls, even though you don't see it, but halachically speaking, the slant is considered like the oil. Abaye Ashkechel Rav Yosef de Kargoni Bekilas Chasanim Besukah. Abaye found, met up with Rav Yosef, and saw Rav Yosef sleeping, Goni is to sleep in a canopy bed. Now, Akilas Chasanim, what's noteworthy is that it is an angular canopy. It doesn't have any. We've discussed this at great length in the past. The Kilas Chasanim was illustrated also back earlier in the Book of Illustrations. You can see on page illustration 166, for example. On page 34, what Akilas Chasanim would look like. I would like to assume that the bed in which Rav Yosef was sleeping, just at this moment it occurred to me that the canopy bed was also very low, as maybe flush to the ground. I want to avoid the situation of it being let's say a tefach above the ground, so that you have something that appears to be completely canopy like. So Rav Yosef was found by Abaye in a kilas chasanim in the sukkah. Omar Le, Keman. So Abai asked Rav Yosef, based on whom are you behaving thusly? Karebi Eliezer. Are you basing yourself on Rebbe Eliezer? Meaning, something that doesn't have a flat roof to it is not considered an ohel. It's not considered an enclosure. So we saw Rebbe Eliezer say this in the Mishnah, that a sukkah that's also kamin srif doesn't have a distinguishable roof to it. It's a pure angle at the top and not flat. Therefore, as far as a sukkah is concerned, it's not considered a sukkah. It lacks the ohel properties. Therefore, the bed under such circumstances is not considered a legal enclosure. It's not considered an ohel in and of itself. Because if it were, so what are you doing in an enclosure when you're supposed to be in the sukkah? You're enclosed by something else blocking you from the sukkah. But let's say, following Rebbe Eliezer, you have what they call a chumra and a kula associated with this approach. The chumra is that it wouldn't be a kosher sukkah, the angular sukkah wouldn't be a kosher sukkah, but the kula is that since it's angular, it's not considered a separate entity, it's not considered a separate enclosure, so that by being in the bed, that this kilas chasanim, you're not considered blocked from the tzach, because that which is over you isn't considered an ohel. So Abaye is asking Rav Yosef, are you following the opinion of a singular authority? Shafkis Rabbonon v'Avdis Rebbe Eliezer? Have you pushed aside or abandoned Shafkis to leave? Have you left the Rabbonon and choose to practice like the singular authority of Rebbe Eliezer? which is, of course, odd as far as an Amora is concerned, a later generation practitioner of Judaism wouldn't opt to follow a minority opinion. Omar Lei, Rav Yosef says, well, I have news for you. Brisa Ipha Tani. There is a Tanaic source, a Brisa, has an opposite presentation regarding the sukkah that looks like a tsrif. Rabbi Eliezer Machshir v'chachomim poislim. The chachomim are the ones to say that the angular type sukkah is not kosher because it's not considered an ohel. It's not considered an enclosure as far as the sukkah is concerned. And then when you transfer that information to the bed, so the bed isn't considered a separate enclosure, and therefore if the bed, the osi that's like a kilas chasanim, is inside a kosher sukkah, you're not blocked from the schach, because that which is over you is not considered a separate enclosure, it's not considered a separate ohel. Abaye asks, that's fine that you've got a brisa, but nevertheless, shafkis masnisin v'avdis kebrisa, have you left our mishnah? A mishnah is considered more authoritative than a brisa. So if you left the Mishnah to follow the teaching of the Brisa, that namely, we're only in the Brisa, if you find a majority opinion that would justify your behavior. Omar Lei, Rav Yosef responds, Masnisin Yechidohi. Our Mishnah, as it is itself a minority opinion, as will be explained immediately. Desanya. Bear in mind, in our Mishnah, we saw the sukkah also come in tzrif, Rabbi Lezer posel. So let's see this price. It says, a sukkah also come in tzrif, shesom chalakoso. A sukkah that is made in an angular fashion. Rabbi Nosan Omer, Rabbi Lezer posel, they she'en lo gag v'chachomim machshirin. So Rabbi Nosan is a later Tana, and he is an individual opinion. He is the one that presents Rabbi Eliezer as holding posel in the case of the sukkah. That is what we saw in the Mishnah. But what's Rabbi Yosef saying? Our Mishnah then represents Rabbi Nosson's version of the earlier Machlokes Tanoim. However, the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Nosson, they would have taught the Machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, like the Brisa that I cited, with the Chachamim passeling the sukkah sukkim in Srif. And as we said before, when you passel the sukkah, that sounds like a stringency, but it has the leniency aspect to it, that if you're in a Kilas Chasanim that has that same form, being that it lacks a gag, it's not considered a separate enclosure. So that if I'm under such a canopy in the sukkah, and the sukkah itself is a kosher flat roof sukkah, so then I'm okay. I'm not blocked by something that's problematic. Before we continue, the topic heading that we see introducing this new section, the Mishnah and the new section of Gemara, reads, our topic heading reads, Machzeles Kischach. We also note that this goes till Chof Amud Beis. We have a very long sukkah ahead of us. Here we're only on Yutes Amud Beis, but this discussion concerning the Machzeles, concerning the mat, serving as a mat, of course, is a reed mat. That's the material of which the mat is made is kosher schach material. So, this sugya goes till Daf Chof Amud Beis, essentially to the end of the perek. We're going to speak about Gedola and Ketana, a large mat and a small mat. Before we begin the Gemara itself, we can well imagine that a small mat is probably designed for sitting purposes. And as such, it's not kosher for a schach. A mat designed for sitting purposes, we'll see later in the Gemara the concept of Tumas Medris, that even if it's flat, but it's capable of being Mekabel Tuma because it's designed for sitting. So it has this Kabbalas Tuma aspect to it, making it into a vessel, and a vessel is not acceptable to be used as, it's not acceptable as schach. However, Gedola, a large mat, very large mat, much more than an area that you would need to sit on. It's probably designed for covering purposes. Well, a schach is a covering, so that if you, without looking into the sugi at all, without dealing with any sources or opinions, just on the very surface of things, if you wanted to say which has a better chance of being kosher as schach, a large mat would have more chance of being acceptable schach than a small mat. So first, the Mishnah. Machzelis konim gedola, a large reed mat. Reed is kosher schach material. So you have a large mat. Asa l'shchiva, if it's made for reclining purposes, for lying, l'shkav is to lie on something. So if it's made for reclining purposes, mekabelis tumah v'ein mesachim bo, it's capable of absorbing tumah. It serves as a vessel, and it's designed for lying, and therefore ein mesabo, you cannot use it as schach. L'sikuch, if it's made for schach purposes, mesachibo, you can use it as schach. V'eino mekabel es tumah, and as such, it's not a vessel, and it's not mekabel tumah. It's not susceptible to absorbing tumah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achas ketana v'achas gedoyla. He lumps the two together, large ones, small ones, same rule applies to both. Asa l'shchiva mekabel es tumah v'emesachibo, if it's made for reclining purposes, they would mekabel tumah, and you can't use it as chach. L'sikuch, if it's made, however, as a covering, mesachibo v'eino mekabel es tumah, you can use it as chach, and it wouldn't be mekabel tumah. Namely, according to Blazer, even a small one. Before we continue with the Gemara, let us glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. The diamond is featured, Ha Stama. You'll see that expression is highlighted with our marking. Ha Stama represents an inference. In the Mishnah, we saw expressions that were dashed, underlined, asa'a l'shchiva, was made with a specific intent in mind, for reclining, or made for covering. What about something that was made without a specific intention? As far as that's concerned, that is, as far as what halachic state is, something made without a specific intention, what halachic state is, it would have, would be based on drawing an inference from the Mishnah. So what our note says, Havlotas Diyukim Hasoisrim. We are going to be highlighting Diyukim that will actually appear to be contradictory. Meha Dikotoni B'Mishnah Asa'a. In other words, the Mishnah said Asa'a either L'Shchiva or L'Sikuch. That's where a positive intention existed. You made it specifically for reclining or specifically for covering. What about the non-specific intention scenario? So the diamonds introduce the inference, and it will lead up to a contradiction. And the double underlines that you see in the Gemara represent shuvois liyashev stiros hanal, answers to the seeming contradictions. So just to get a bird's eye view of the Gemara, try to notice where the double underlinings appear, and that requires us to also skim down Daf Chof Omid Aleph, and you'll notice that this we will count up to three of these. We'll be seeing the first answer, and then the second answer offered by Rava, and the third answer offered by Rav Papa. Let's now continue in the Gemara. Ha Gufa Kashya. Our Mishnah has an seeming inherent contradiction. Note, by the way, long question marking. What is it? Amris. You said, Asa l'shchiva mekabelis tumah v'emesachim bo. So if you made it with a specific intention, if you made this, the large mat, with the specific intention of reclining, so then it's mekabel tumah, it absorbs tumah, and you cannot use it as chach, because chach must be made from something that isn't susceptible to tumah. So why or under what circumstances is a large mat not kosher? Taimo daso l'shchiva. It's because you made it with shchiva in mind. You made it specifically for reclining purposes. Hostamo. However, if it were made with a neutral mindset, l'sikuch, it would be acceptable for schach. The hoder tani, and then you taught in the Mishnah, l'sikuch mesachim bov and makabos tuma. If you made the large mat for covering purposes, you can use it for schach, and as such, it's not considered a vessel, and it's not makabel tuma. It's not susceptible to tuma absorption. Taimo da'asol l'sikuch. Why is it kosher? Because you made it with specific schach intentions, specific covering intention. Hostama, but if you were neutral, it would follow from that comment. If it were neutral, l'shchiva, then it would be considered for reclining purposes. So we have, as we see, if you focus on your diamonds, the neutral preparation or manufacture of a large reed mat. What status does the neutral mat have? Well, it's contradictory. The first inference led us to say l'sikuf. The second inference led us to say shchiva. The Gemara says halo kashya. The double underline, we introduce an answer. Kan b'gdolo, kan b'gtano. The Tanakama, even though we didn't see this in the words, the Tanakama is referring to two different size mats. It's true that in Rabbi Eliezer's comment, he made reference to two different size mats. Here the Gemara is mechadesh that the Tanakama also made reference, even though it's not in the words, but was making reference to two different size mats. We look at Rashi. We're looking at Rashi at the end of the narrow lines. The Seifa lo domi l'resha. The second part of the Tanakama is not similar to the first. The Seifa hochi koma. The Seifa, the latter part of the Rabbonon's statement, is as follows. Ve'im ketano hi. If you're dealing with a small mat, the asa'a l'sikuch, and you made it for covering purposes, mesachachim ba, you can use it as schach. Ha stama l'shiva. But let it be known that a stam, small mat, is for reclining purposes. You might, if it helps anyone, the illustration or the imagination is, I believe in Japan there is an old custom of sitting on mats as opposed to sitting on chairs around a table while dining. So if that image helps, so be it. But those are small mats designed, they're personal size mats. So when you're dealing with a personal size mat, we can say regarding that stamo l'shchiva, unless it's made for specific covering purposes, the stam, the neutral, the standard manufacture of small mats is for sitting and leaning. Large mats without any specific intention, they're made to serve as tarpaulins for covering things. We continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, at this point we're starting a question and it lasts a number of lines. We're quoting the Rabbi Eliezer section of the Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achas ketano v'achas gedoylo, whether it be a small mat or a large mat, asa l'shchiva mekabelis tumo v'imesachim bo, if you made it with leaning intentions, so it cannot be used as schach. Taimo daso l'shchiva. The reason it's not kosher for it is because you made the mats, size irrelevant, you made them for leaning purposes, for lying purposes. Ha'stama, neutral mindset, regarding all mats, l'sikuch. All mats, neutral mindset for covering purposes. Eimo seifa. Let's continue in Rabbi Eliezer. Asa l'sikuch. All mats made for covering purposes, you can use it for schach. They don't mekabel tuma. So, why is it kosher? Time of asar sichuch, because you had a specific covering intention in mind. Hastama, neutral mindset regarding all mats. Lishchiva, that would be the inference. If you had a positive mindset for covering purposes, will mats be kosher? But if you didn't have a positive covering mindset, you were neutrally minded. Lishchiva. Now compare the two diamonds here. Here we have a contradiction. And here we can't split, like we said, by the Chachomim, because Rabbi Elazar lumps the two together, Ketana with Gedola. Elo Omar Rava. Rava has a new approach. Begedola Kule Alma Lo Pligi Destamo Lesikuch. There is no Machlokes, Rebbe Elazar and the Chachamim, the Tanakam and Rebbe Elazar, regarding large mats. Everyone agrees large mats in the neutral, in their stam manufacture, their neutral mindset in their preparation, their manufacture is for covering purposes. Ki pligi viktana, the machlokes between Tanakam and Rebbe Elazar is with regard to a small mat. Tanakama sovar stam tano lishchiva. The neutral mindset in the making of a small mat is for reclining purposes. So that only if, as far as the Tanakama is concerned, only if you made it for covering purposes would it be kosher. Otherwise, if you didn't make it with a specific sikuch mindset, small mat unfit. Rebbe Elazar sovar stam kotanan ktanonami vasikoch. And Rebbe Elazar, he's of the opinion that the neutral mindset in small mat making is also for covering purposes. With this explanation, the Gemara feels obligated now to read this back into the Mishnah, the original source. And that's what the Gemara does here at the top of Chof Amar Aleph. So we continue at the top of Chof Amar Aleph, the Hochi Ka'omar. And thusly, one is to understand the Mishnah. So we present to you the new reading of the Mishnah as according to Rava's explanation. Machzelas Hakonim Gedoyla, large mat, Asol Shiva Mekabeles Tumo. If it's made for reclining purposes, it's subject to kabbalas tuma, to tuma absorption, ve'im sachim ba, and cannot be used as schach. Time it asol shiva. The reason it's no good is because you made it for shiva. Hostamo, neutral mindset, nase kemish asol sikuch misachim ba. It's as if you had a covering mindset and you can use it. We're going to read the parentheses section, which we generally don't do, but here it's very helpful. Ktano, a small mat. Asol lesikuch, if it's made for covering purposes, misachim ba, you can use it for schach. Time asol lesikuch, because you made it with a positive sikuch mindset, so you can use it as schach. Ha stamo nase kemish asol leshchiva v'ein misachim ba. However, if it's stam with a neutral mindset, then it's as if the small mat was made for lying, the ain misachabon, you cannot use it. The yosser Rebbe Elazar meimar achas ketana v'achas gedola. Notice the dashed underlining. Rebbe Elazar comes and says regarding both sizes, whether it's ketana gedola, stamo shero lesikuch. So if you focus on the markings, the tanakama we dashed underline above ketana asol lesikuch. The ketana is good only if you made it for schach. Rebbe Elazar says the ketana even stamo is kosher the schach. Since the focus, the highlighting of the machlokas, and that is what Rava was telling us. Notice the order of words in Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe Elazar, it's in the Mishnah and here in this reread as well. He features, he says, Achas Ketana V'Achas Gedoyla. They're kosher for Schach. And why is that? Because the stam of all mats are made primarily, let's see, primarily for covering purposes. We continue in the Gemara with a long question. It actually has two parts, and they're numbered. We numbered them Aleph and Beis. Omar le Abaye. Abaye says to Rava, Ihachi, if as you are explaining things, the text said, Rabbi Lezer Omar, Achas Ketana v'Achas Gedoyla, whether it be a small one or a large one. Now, when you are talking about two items, in this case we have Ketana and Gedoyla, large, small and large, and we want to, let's say, compare one to the other, and one is more obvious than the other. One point is more obvious than the other. What's Rabbi Lezer telling us? He's saying that all mats, they're basically designed for sikuch. But forgetting about the text, just as we said at the opening of the sukkah, in your general approach to mats, which kind is more likely to be for covering purposes, a large one or a small one? So obviously, the large mats are more likely to be used for covering purposes, for sikuch purposes. So the simpler, the more obvious, is the large mat. Now, Talmudic structure is such that when you have two items that you want to compare to one another, or you want to lump together, but one of the items is more obvious than the other, you state the more obvious first. So Abaye turns to Rav and says, the way you presented things, a part of your explanation was that Reb Lezer was telling me that all kinds of mats are made for stam, are made for covering. If that's the case, the order of the wording is inaccurate. So Abaye says, instead of Reb Lezer having said, like it says in the text, Achas Ketana, Achas Gedola, Achas Gedola, Achas Ketana mi boyale. He should have stated Gedola, the large mat, first. Whether it be the large mat or even the small mat, they are made for covering purposes. That's what you said, but that's not what it says in the text. The text has Ketana stated first. V'oid, furthermore, ki pligi, b'gedoyla hu de pligi. When they argue regarding a large mat. V'Rabbi Eliezer l'chumra, and Rabbi Eliezer is more stringent. This will be pointed out in the next source, Tesanya. Now, there is an arrow that we have indicating Yutes Amud Beis. The purpose of the arrow is to contrast that which Abaye is saying now. Abaye is saying their argument surrounds the Gedola. Rava, the lower part of Yud Tes Amud Beis, you'll see the arrow. Rava said ki pligi b'ktana. Rava set up their machlokas surrounding the small mat. Abaye is pointing out, no, their machlok, let's go back. Rava said their machlokas surrounds the small mat, but the large mat, they all agree. Stama l'sikuch. Abaye says, no, they don't all agree regarding large mats. And that's his second point. The Ode ki pligi, the Gedola hu the pligi, the Rabbi Eliezer l'chumra. And furthermore, Rabbi Eliezer is the more stringent opinion. Up till now, the way Rava presented things, who was the more stringent? Rabbi Eliezer was the more lenient. The Tanakama was saying that the stam small mat would not be suitable. And Rabbi Eliezer was saying the stam, the neutrally made small mat, is kosher for schach. Not only if it's made specifically for covering purposes, but even if it's made with a neutral mindset, it's kosher for schach. So Rava's presentation, Rav Lezer had him being the more lenient opinion. Abaye says, not true. Tesanya, let's see the source. Machzeles hakonim, a mat made of reeds. B'gdeila misachin bo. Large mats can be used as schach. No qualifications. All mats can be used as schach. All large mats. Reb Lezer Omer, im eino mekabelis tuma mesachin bo. Reb Lezer is restrictive. He said only if it's not mekabel tuma. And Rashi adds, you'll find Rashi the lower part of the narrow lines. He says, "Imeino mekabelas tuma klomar im befeirush asal lesikuch in." Only if the large mat was made with a positive covering mindset is it acceptable. Elo, lo. If it wasn't made for covering purposes, you can't use it. Alma, what do we see from here? L'tanakama, stam gedola l'sikuch. The Tanakama didn't add any qualifications, so you can assume, as far as the Tanakama is concerned, the first authority is of the opinion that the neutrally made large mat is kosher. Ula Rebbe Lezer, stam l'shchifa, but according to Rebbe Lezer, the stam large mat is for reclining purposes and not suitable, not acceptable, as chaf. So after all is said and done, from this source, you see a challenge to Rabbah's whole explanation. Ela Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa now explains. Biktana kuli alma lo pligi, the stama l'shchiva. As far as the small mat is concerned, there is no machlokas regarding small mats. That is, that the neutrally made small mat will be not unfit for schach because it's probably for reclining. Ki pligi begedola. The machlokas concerns the large mat. Tanakama sovar stam gedola lesikuch. The Tanakama is lenient, and he says that the neutrally made large mat is for covering. Rebbe Lezer sovar stam gedola nami l'shchiva. Rebbe Lezer will tell you that the large, neutral-minded, large mat is also for reclining purposes, just like a small mat. Oh my! I saw the shiva de komar. Rebbe Lezer in the Mishnah said, made for reclining purposes, and he said that when he was talking about the large mat as well. When right now the large mat, even if it's not made for reclining purposes, is said to be for reclining. So why in the Mishnah does he say made for reclining? So the Gemara explains, what does Asol L'Shiva that Rebbe Lezer said in the Mishnah to Komar, what does he mean? Hachi Komar, what it means to say is that Stam Asiyasa, the neutral mindset in the making of a large mat, Nami, like the small one, L'Shiva, is as if it were made for, again we emphasize, it's as if it were made for reclining, Ad David Lesikoch. It won't be fit for schach until you have a positive covering mindset. Rashi himself is quite extensive in reading this answer back into the original source and showing you how to understand it in the original words. But for our purposes, what Rav Papa does is he resolves, like we saw previously, resolves the seeming contradictions and also focuses the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rebbe Lezer surrounding the large mat in its neutral making of a large mat. That's the point of machlokas. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source that continues with topics concerning mats. In order to appreciate this source, we also have a chart that accompanies this. So you can take advantage of what you see on the chart. Maybe before we go into the Gemara, we'll use the chart as an introduction to this Tanaic source. We're dealing with Machzolos Shonos, different types of mats, and down the side, the right hand side of the chart, so the column is headed Chomerim u Matzavam. We're dealing with materials and their state. We are in character with our Gemara markings approach regarding translations. We're not going to be translating, even though many of you would probably like to have an actual translation. Rashi offers French words, so if you're familiar with Old French, so you'll appreciate this all the more. As far as the text and the structure of the Gemara, you don't need to translate, you just have to recognize that there are, in this particular source, there are four different materials referred to. The four materials by name are Shifa, Gemi, Konim, and Chilas. So down the right-hand column, we see Shifa and Gemi. Those are two materials. It's pointed out Rakim Hain, and some of the information that we're adding is taken from the Rashi. They are, relatively speaking, soft materials. Regarding Shifa and Gemi, we will be saying Ein Chiluk Bein Aruga LeGedula. There's no difference between Aruga is something that is woven, and Gedula is something that's twisted. And there are illustrations that accompany this that might be of value. 322 on page 62, the last illustration is Aruga, it's woven, and 323 is where the material is twisted. So as far as these two substances or materials, Shifa and Gemi, we said they're soft materials, and as far as how they're made, Aruga and Gedula, we don't make any distinction. And we're going to deal with mats made of these materials with a neutral mindset. We have to emphasize at the beginning that there are two words with the same letters pronounced differently with totally different meanings. One word is gedola. We've been using that word along the way. It means large. Another word is gedula. Gedula means twisted. We have an illustration, 323. There's a pasuk in the Torah regarding tzitzis. It says, "Gedilim ta'aseh l'cha," and that's a reference to the tzitzis, which have this element of strings that are twisted. The source will tell us that regarding Shifa and Gemi, the only point of distinction will be the size. The issue of size makes the difference. Gedola misachachin, a large ones you can use as chach. Ktano, small ones, ain misachachin, because the small ones are probably made for sitting or reclining purposes. We go to the next materials. The next materials are konim and chilas. It's pointed out that they are hard materials. We're going to see the following. Regarding konim and chilas, moving across this chart, gedula, if it's twisted, eino chaloka, it's pointed out, again, we said a lot of this information is also in the Rashi, it's not, eino chaloka, it's not so smooth, it's twisted reeds, so misachachin, it's misachachin, and notice on the chart, according, with regard to these materials, konim and chilas, size doesn't make a difference. You can use it. It's not smooth. They won't be used for reclining. Even if they're small, they won't be used for reclining. We continue on the chart. The konim and chilas, if they're aruga, if they're woven, someone troubled themselves to weave them, so they are chaloka. It forms a smoother surface. The Tanakama will tell us that you cannot use them as schach because they are made for shchiva. Whereas even large ones, but they were woven, someone troubled themselves to weave it, so they're for shchiva purposes. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, disagrees and says that misachin, they're used for covering. Maybe his emphasis on the fact that it's hard material. So that even though someone troubled themselves to weave it, you can use it as schach. So in looking at things, if you want to like summarize or restate the information here, Shifa and Gemi, the distinction will be found based on size. Konim and Chilas, distinctions will be based on how they are prepared, how they're manufactured, whether it's twisted versus woven. And within that, when it comes to the aruga, the konim and chilas that's woven, there's a machlokes tanoim between the Tanakama and Rav Yossi. So as far as Rav Yossi is concerned, you see that when it comes to konim and chilas mats, you can always use them as schach, regardless of how they are made and regardless of their size. Okay, we now turn to the text, the Tanaic source. There is no Gemara that's going to elaborate on this. Hence, we made reference to the Rashi in presenting this chart. Tanu Rabbanan. Machzeles shel shifa v'shel gemi. A mat made of shifa and gemi materials. Gedola misachin ba. Large mats, you can use as schach. Kitano ein misachin ba. Small ones, you cannot use as schach. Shel konim v'shel chilas. Two more materials. Gedula. Notice, this is not a function of size. It's a function of how it's made. Gedula, twisted reeds in the making of the mat. The reeds were twisted. Misachachin ba. You can use it as schach. A distinction here is made in terms of size. Aruga, it was illustration 322. Ein misachachin ba. If it's woven, the Tanakhama says you cannot use it as schach. And the reason being that if someone troubled themselves to weave it together, it's probably made for reclining purposes, and hence it's unfit for schach. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel quotes his father, says, Achaz zu v'achaz zu. Whether it's gedula or even aruga. Even aruga misachachin ba. You can use it as schach. V'chein hoya Rabbi Dosa Omer Kedvarov. And Rabbi Dosa agrees with that. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.